You are listening to the Wabash Presbyterian Church podcast for Sunday, June 14th. In this podcast, Reverend Amy Cornell teaches on Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Her message is entitled, Peace, Our Inheritance.
For those of you who have ever spoken in church or preached before, you know that inadvertently, whatever you are speaking on becomes the topic of your life for the past few days. Today I'm speaking on peace, and of course our daughter woke up late, didn't want to leave her mama, and the anxiety that sometimes plagues us will always plague us. But I am accepting my inheritance of peace from the Lord today. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and everyone said, amen. Many of you do not know this, but from birth, I have not been able to sleep. My parents often tell the story that I did not sleep through the night until well after I was 2.5 years old. God bless my mom and dad. I have no idea why they had more children after me. By the time I was 11 years old, the problem had gotten to the point that I needed to see a specialist and was put on medication to sleep. My problem was not only biological, but it seemed that I had been born plagued with anxiety. Here are some of the things I worried about throughout the years. First and foremost, that I was not good enough and would somehow disappoint my parents. I still remember the first B I ever got. Not a B in a class, but a B ever. It was in the fifth grade, and it was a test on protons, neutrons, and electrons, and I missed 4. And I asked to be excused, and I went to the bathroom and proceeded to have a mini nervous breakdown. At the age of 11, I was a hot mess. Being raised in a very fundamentalist Republican family, I remember my second grade teacher at our parent-teacher conferences saying to my parents, "Your daughter will be the next Geraldine Ferraro." And my parents proceeded to come home and tell me this, and I, in my anxiety, said, "Mom, she's a Democrat." That was the anxiety that plagued me as a child. Good night, nerd. I also worried that I wouldn't get into a good college. When I got into a good college, I worried I wouldn't find a job. When I found a job, I worried I'd never get married. When I finally got married, I worried I couldn't have children. I had been plagued with some health problems. When our son was born healthy, I worried that I would do something wrong and our son would die from something I did wrong. How many of us have, as parents, have worried, like, there's something I'm not doing that I'm supposed to be doing, and that child is going to perish? And then I got cancer. And then I worried I would die. When the cancer was finally out of my body, I worried that I wouldn't be able to have any more children. When I got pregnant with Annie, I worried whether I could parent more than one child well. When I started working at White's after Annie, I worried that I would fail both of my children and fail the students at White's. When I was pregnant with this third child, I worried our house wasn't big enough and that I would colossally ruin all of our lives by tossing ourselves into the chaos of 3 babies. Can you see how exhausting it is to carry all of these worries on our shoulders? But here's the thing. I know that all of us have this litany of worries that have plagued us for years. And doesn't it seem that once one thing gets taken care of, another thing just comes in to take its place? There's a story in the Bible about a time when the disciples were plagued with worry. And as I read the words out of the book of Mark, I want you to focus on Jesus' actions and words compared to these men he so deeply loves. Mark 4, beginning with verse 35. Late that day, he said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." They took him in the boat as he was. Other boats came along. A huge storm came up. Waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. And Jesus was in the stern, head on a pillow, sleeping. They roused him, saying, "Teacher, is it nothing to you that we are going down?" Awake now, he told the wind to pipe down and said to the sea, "Quiet, settle down." The wind ran out of breath. The sea became smooth as glass. Jesus reprimanded all the disciples. "Why are you such cowards? Do you not have any faith at all?" They were in absolute awe, staggered. "Who is this anyway?" they asked, wind and sea at his beck and call. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you see here how Jesus is in no way affected by the storm? He's actually asleep while the entire thing is going on. I want you to look in these verses at when it is Jesus wakes up. Is it when he begins to feel the boat going down? No, it's not. He wakes up when the disciples he so deeply loves wake him. The only time in all of the scriptures when Jesus was moved, when he cried, when he went into action, was when one of us was hurting or afraid. The things of this earth never bothered Jesus. It was only us and our worry and anxiety that roused him. That gives me such incredible comfort in the midst of my anxiety and worry. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night he would enter into his passion, Jesus has so much to share with his disciples. And knowing he is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, he offers up an inheritance, not only to his disciples, but to you and to me as well. Verse 27 in John talks about the greatest gift that Jesus wants to leave us behind. His peace. He is called the Prince of Peace. Jesus, even at the time of his death, was always giving. It says, "Peace I leave you with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Randy, would you leave that up on the screen for me, please? Thank you. This is what I want you to get. All through Jesus' life, he was in complete control. Complete control. There were times when people would threaten to kill him or stone him, and he would calmly, you read the scriptures, he would just calmly meander through the crowds and escape. Jesus would encounter demons, and he would speak to them boldly and without fear. Jesus was never, ever moved or worried about the things of this earth or even the things of heaven and hell. Storms, crowds, threats, demons didn't faze him at all. His mind was stayed upon the Father. Even when he's tempted by the enemy, he is not moved. And at the hour of his death, it says that Jesus laid down his life. Even in his death, Jesus chose, meaning he was in complete control at all times. We can learn from this. Jesus was always called walked in the peace of God. And this peace in Hebrew is called shalom. And the peace he says here that he leaves, he is speaking shalom to his people. This Hebrew word shalom does not just mean peace. It means wellness, wholeness, completeness, peace of mind and heart and body. Shalom literally means every single part of you as well. So when Jesus says, "My peace I leave to each and every one of you," he is saying he is leaving you the same control, the same wholeness that you saw me have in my 33 years here on earth. not a worldly peace that comes through meditation, yoga, for my white kids from smoking something, or any medication. This peace has got to work in the midst of any circumstance, in the midst of any storm, in the midst of death threats. This peace will have complete control over the things of earth and even heaven and hell. Well, here's what I ask all the time, knowing this truth. If I got left this peace, how come I don't have it? Well, if we read closely these verses, we see that we have a part to play. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." We are in complete control of our hearts. Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He does not take advantage of our hearts. We must give our hearts. And so when he says, "Let not your heart be troubled," he knows that we are the only ones in control of our hearts. Your friends, your medications, your circumstances cannot affect your heart. What Jesus is saying here is, if you will not let your heart be troubled, I will take care of all other things in your life. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." This means to me that when I seek God first, he takes care of everything else in my life. When I have trouble in any area, with my finances, with my friends, with my husband, I know where the root of the problem is. The root of the problem is not where the world thinks it is. The root of the problem is my relationship with God. My relationship with God is the axis by which all other things in my life revolve. And so when something in my life is off, I know that my relationship with God is off. And if I can correct that relationship, if I can begin to not let my heart be troubled and to seek him first, he will correct everything else. And so instead of seeking out the problem, I get on my knees and watch him take care of the problem. I want you to take a moment and think about those things you are worried about, that litany of items that you have in your own mind. What is causing your heart trouble? And now I want you to ask the Father, "Father, how do I keep my heart from being troubled?" You know, Jesus is such a good Savior. He gives us the answer. And it was found in John 14 all along. That night when he was betrayed, the first thing he said was, "Let not your heart be troubled." Can you go to John 14? There you go. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And there's another version that says, "Trust in God, trust also in me." So how do we let not our hearts be troubled? We trust the Father. We trust the Savior. We trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding of how things work. And we let Christ direct our paths. And so now, when I worry and fret, not all the time, but I try, I claim the peace of Christ that was left to me as an inheritance over 2,000 years ago. I rest in the promise that I can trust him with my life because he cares for me and my family and the kids at White's more than I ever, ever, ever could. When I begin to fret, I center myself on the promise that the man who was poured out like a drink offering for my sake is still on the throne. I recite the words of Psalm 116, verse 7. "Be at rest once again, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." And so today, are you worried about the future? You can trust him. Are you worried about your marriage? You can trust him. Are you worried about your finances? You can trust him. Are you worried about getting older and what will happen and what it will mean? You can trust him. Are you worried that you will be alone forever? You can trust him. Are you worried about your children, whether grown or not grown? You can trust him. Are you worried that God has forgotten you? He has not. You can trust him. Whatever you are worried about, whatever has your heart troubled, give it to Jesus. He knows your every need. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows your silent cries in the night. As Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in God. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.